Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. This is episode 532. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only. It has been said that the Xbox One was named after him. It is the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Final score, PlayStation 4. Xbox One.
Did you see that on a t-shirt?
You told me about it.
I did?
Yeah, that's something.
No,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, it was you.
Nope.
Oh, then it was somebody.
It was, yeah.
Somebody.
Maybe it was
Heath.
Maybe.
Heath
at
and then you told
yeah, it was
me.
Heath at Comic-Con.
Yes. Comic-Con. Remember that?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, on the Comic-Con.
I told you that my son thought that Comic-Con was like Disneyland.
No.
He was like, let's go to Comic-Con today. Like,
oh, I wish.
Go, no, son, it's only like, it's a weekend.
He
goes, I don't understand. And I didn't know if he was saying, I don't understand, as in, why would it only be one weekend?
Right.
Or, I don't understand what one weekend means.
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah. So,
just information.
I said, it comes around once a year. And he goes, again, I don't.
You had to use the example of birthday.
Yes, I
right?
said, that's, so we can't go to Comic-Con until Jack has another birthday party. He goes,
like,
but
okay.
That's a long ways away. I said, yeah.
Like,
he
yes.
goes, can we dress up? I said, yes, we can.
Oh, what does he want to be next year?
I don't know. I'm sure he'll figure it out. It's like, that's what I mean. It's like Christmas in July, Comic-Con for, he'll then be five.
Yeah.
But it's like Halloween in the middle of the next year.
Man, I would have anxiety dreams about dressing. Oh, I actually just said this on the show recently, didn't
oh,
I?
Really?
Did I?
Oh, yes. Man, about what you would be
were
for
we
Halloween.
Were we drunk last time we did
no.
this?
No.
We should have been. I'm getting like blown up in
I know, I was going to say, you've
like,
got...
things. All these things are happening. I was going to say about our Comic-Con episode, in the description... You mentioned that we talked about Comic-Con chicks, and we didn't really talk about them very much in that episode. They were like...
Well, we kind of talked about what they're dressing as.
Yeah, but like briefly. We spent a lot
oh,
of time
really?
Talking about spoilers and the spoiler culture.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I can edit it.
I thought it was... No, I thought I brought it up to congratulate you for your marketing brilliance.
Oh.
Because who wants to listen to a podcast about spoilers
yeah.
when you can talk about... chicks in scantily clad outfits.
Yeah.
My wife, for whatever reason, decided to listen to that episode. And spent 20 minutes trying to find the
part
picture.
Where she talks about chick. We
yeah,
talk about
we'll
chicks?
We mentioned that picture that I put it on the Facebook page since then, but the animated picture that somebody did of a girl at Comic-Con
mm-hmm.
having
oh,
everybody
yeah,
point
yeah.
at her. And she said she tried to find it and found, I think she typed in Comic-Con girl.
Oh.
So she got... Yeah. All these, she's like, are you going to a porn convention? I said, that's like one in every, I don't know, 12
I like that
girls.
Your wife is in her late 20s, becomes like grandma to
yeah.
everyone.
Why?
Yeah.
That's not
what
fair.
Are you doing going to those comic book conventions?
And then I reminded her that she was
filth.
She rebuked, reneged, redrew. She agreed.
Withdrew?
That she was going to be pregnant slave Leia
oh.
for Comic-Con last year.
And she said
and she
negative.
Didn't do it. We had talked about it, that if she was showing pregnant, like
yeah.
Visibly pregnant, yeah. that at Comic-Con she would come as pregnant slave girl Leia, and people would get to say that there was a baby hut in there.
It's a shame that she did. And that's how you lost at the Game of Life.
That's right. That's so sad. So sad.
And that is marriage in a nutshell. You win and you lose.
We did do the wrong show tonight.
Oh, that's funny.
We should have done the other one.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't like... I know that we usually start off talking about what we're playing.
Yeah.
I started playing a little bit more about on Siphon Filter. I am so excited for Ratchet & Clank to be coming to the Vita. I don't know if that's only a rumor.
It is.
Or...
Oh, no. Ratchet, Jack and Daxter on the Vita currently.
Right. But aren't Ratchet & Clank the Collector's Edition eventually coming? I thought that
probably.
I heard
it's
some
on
kind
the,
of wind of that.
It's on... I mean, it's already been released on the PS3. You've been playing that.
Yes. But I want it on the Vita... Full Frontal Assault is on the Vita.
Yeah, finally. That was that. I bought that game full priced because I thought that it was cross-buy, and I got it, and it was like 6 months later that it finally, the port was finally ready, and the price had dropped down to half of that. Q-Force is who they are when they're together.
It says Ratchet & Clank Q-Force on the Vita. But that's in the UK PlayStation website.
Oh, they must have a different name. They don't do the up your arsenal joke
yeah.
there.
Okay.
It doesn't fly.
Dang it. Into the Nexus listed for PlayStation Vita. So I guess that's a new game.
Probably.
Let's see.
Do you remember for a while there, Sly Cooper was listed as coming. It was Sly Cooper 3D coming to the PS Vita.
Mm.
All these people. Do you remember this when people were asking like, hey, what's the news with Sly Cooper 3D coming to the PS Vita? I was like, pretty sure that's not accurate. First of all, Vita isn't a 3D device. I mean, right there, unless they're referring to the 3D camera that has been in all the games, pretty sure that that's not a real thing.
Wow.
And then Wikipedia took it down.
They have Dishonored. It says Amazon France, who previously outed a Dishonored Game of the Year edition and Injustice Gods Among Us for PlayStation Vita, both still unconfirmed, and the previously confirmed Skyrim Game of the Year, The Last of Us PS3 bundle, and a PS Vita game and memory card bundle, has a new product page for Ratchet & Clank Into the Nexus on both the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita. While they make the mistake of saying the Vita version is for Windows, they do give it a November 4th release date, as well as a cheaper price than the PS3 version. It's always possible that this is a retailer mistake, but with Insomniac creating the PS3 version of Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault, and another studio, Tin Giant, porting it over to the handheld much later, this does seem like it could be possible, provided another developer does the porting. Almost like magic, Amazon France also has a listing for Walking with Dinosaurs, which is given a November 4th release date. Mm. So none of that sounds like it makes any sense to me. But my point is that I did a lot of traveling this last week, and I really, I played a half of a season on Madden on the Vita on a plane.
Wow.
And I just love it. Like, I just.
How long are your games? How long are your quarters?
I mean, I probably, a game is 40 minutes, I'm guessing, 30 to 40 minutes. And so, I was on week 2, and now I'm already on week 8 or 9.
Let's celebrate the battery life of a Vita. You're able to sit on a plane for, what, 6 hours?
Well, here's the thing. Most constantly? Of my, I realized that I, this was a literally a Burbank to New York trip.
Wow.
With a layover in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
And it almost died on me, I think, the last hour of the flight to New York.
But you played it in the airport terminal and all that, too.
No, I just played it on the plane, but I don't know how it works where you power it down, and I didn't do anything like turn off any Bluetooth or any of that stuff like you could do on your phone. I don't know if that's even a thing. All of a sudden, I'm a 78-year-old man, but I was shocked that I just get into it, and I just start playing, and I'm going through it, and I'm loving it, but I do want... That is the venue for a guy like me to play platform games, is on the Vita. That is the perfect spot
for me to do it. Let's dial back in the podcast history.
Listen,
go back and...
In the podcast history, you were the early adopter.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, and so, listen, I'm not here to fight. I'm not here to rebuff that.
You own
rebuttal it or whatever you said about your wife.
Redraw.
I don't own Skylanders.
My son
owns Skylanders.
I think you've made it pretty clear that whatever he owns, you own, in that you pay for it and you can take it away.
But here's my point, is that I said I was not going to buy him Skylanders. My mother bought him Skylanders and therefore set an unnecessary precedent. So it's like...
But didn't you also say that you didn't want them in your house? Like
my children?
That was something you didn't... You didn't want to get on that boat. Do they know that Disney Infinity is a thing?
No. They wouldn't even begin. They're not Disney kids. They're Nickelodeon kids.
They have all the movies.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not. They're not anti-Disney. I'm just saying that on the day-to-day, our TV watching is either Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon.
Yeah, fair enough.
Now that there isn't a lot of program. Now they saw the Disney XD. They watched the Avengers Assemble, which, by the way, it just premiered. The thing that you said had already been running, the new Avengers, it just premiered this month.
Oh, got it.
So they started watching the new Avengers, which is funny. The first Avengers cartoon was called Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. This one is called Avengers Assemble. And so they started watching that, and it's okay. I like it, but I don't know. Like, it seems kind of disjoined, but they said it was the premiere episode was coming out in the middle of August. I don't know if there's something I've missed or something.
Sometimes they do like a teaser episode.
Yeah.
They'll pull one episode
this
out.
This one seems a little disjointed, but I like what they're doing with it. Mm-hmm. I definitely like what they're doing, and it's very different from the other one. And then they like the Ultimate Spider-Man, which I think is one of the best superhero shows on TV
right now.
Is Ultimate Spider-Man. It's funny. You like, as an adult, I can watch it with my kids, which I think that any of our listeners would thoroughly enjoy.
It's always a win.
And it's just, I just like the I don't know. It's interesting. I watched Flashpoint. I know that we're supposed to be talking about the games, but I watched the Justice League Flashpoint movie that was just released.
Yeah. Talk about that. What's that all about?
It's really aggressive. The idea, the story is that, and I don't know a lot, so spoiler alerts galore, because
well,
I don't know.
It's 2 years old in the comic book world. It predates the new 52.
Okay, great. So I don't know a lot about all of the Flash and everything, but it's interesting that when I see that kind of stuff, I just instantly love it. Like, I'm just like, this is fun to watch. But the story is that Barry Allen, which is, like, I guess one of the new Flashes. I know that there's a futuristic Flash, too.
Oh.
You find out that his mom died somehow, that if he said, and he, of course, if he just could have run faster home to see her on her birthday, she would have maybe been alive.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, so that's how it
this
starts.
This is a kid's? Oh,
yeah.
That's
it's awesome. Not a kid's. No, it's not. This is for your 13 and up.
No.
Maybe even a little
it's
older.
It's probably not entirely accurate.
Well, there
was
a lot.
It's not for kids. Oh,
yeah,
okay,
I'm saying it's for 13s and up is what I would say. And probably a little bit older. Like, there are moments where I'm like, ew. And if I'm looking at it going, I don't know if my kid should be watching this.
Yeah.
If I have an inkling of that, that means no one else would ever let their children watch it. Like, lots of just stabbing and headshots.
You've shown him, really? Wow, you've shown him Dexter. I mean.
Yeah, he's seen a little bits of Dexter. He saw the pilot episode of Walking Dead. He's fine. I don't got to worry about Jacob.
He's fine.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Will I get on the press conference when he climbs the top of a bell tower and, you know, wipes out half of
the
campus?
That's a reference.
Then yeah, sure. I will get on there and I will say, hey, I'm sorry. See, look at that. Oh, well, that's not fun for the listeners. Look right behind you. See that foam? It's already moving right there.
I put it down when I first came in here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's good. See, it's sticky enough.
But anyway. Here in the Gamerland studios.
Foam is falling off the walls.
Here in Gamerland, we have unlocked a secret code that makes the world crumble around us. Yes. We get to see what it is actually made out of.
Cubert is falling. What insulation is that stuff? That's pest resistant.
Yeah, there's little ants with do not bother the ants.
Jacob read that and said, this is what Jacob's phase is. We are doing the wrong show. Jacob's phase is now that he saw that and he goes, that means bugs don't go in there. He's like, yeah, I know.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
He's all about teaching you what he knows.
Got
that's
it.
What he's.
Yeah.
But I get back to Flashpoint. So the story is that then. He has some kind of doppelganger that I know his real name is Thong, I think is what he said. Was
I'm sorry. Did you say his name is Thong?
Thong. I think it's either Thong or Thon, but it's a futuristic name because this guy is from like the 25th century, and those Flashes can run so fast they could time travel.
Yeah.
So,
do they go around the sun like in Star Trek 4?
No.
And that's how they...
I think they just run through the ocean.
What?
Yeah, they could just run on water. And
I don't. DC's weird.
So they. So anyway, he comes. He catches them, and he's going to kill them. And then the Justice League comes to help him, and then everything gets fixed. And then he goes. He says, "Looks like you can't save everyone," and he runs away. And he goes back in time, but they don't show you this. It's really weird. Or at least maybe
I
missed it because I was kind of taking care of the kids, but. He goes back in time and saves his mom, and then that causes a really cool, like, ripple effect
within the universe.
In the timeline. Yeah, and so he comes back, and this is all in the description, so I'm not really ruining anything, but he comes back to this time, and there's a humongous war happening between Aquaman and Wonder Woman for the planet Earth. And a guy who's clearly President Obama has like, so he's talking with Cyborg, who becomes the head of Homeland Security.
Good choice.
Yeah. And so they're talking about how they're going to have to nuke Aquaman and his, you know, forces and everything, because it's funny that the humans are just a consequence between Wonder Woman and Aquaman's
between
war,
the Amazon,
which is also according to what they kind of, now I'm kind of starting to get spoilers too much, but anyway, they, okay, I get it. I get it.
I think I just sent you that email.
Okay. So anyway, the thing is that what I thought was interesting is that Superman does not exist in this world.
Oh.
And then there's an interesting twist with Batman that's really cool.
Mm. Is this on Netflix?
No, not
yet. Where
maybe
is it?
You can get on Amazon streaming, but you'd have to pay for it.
Do I have to pay for it?
Yes, because I bought it on DirecTV, and it only lasts for 2 days.
How can I'm borrowing everything of yours. Can I just have one of your cable boxes?
My dad may know how to do that. I don't.
Oh, really? That's the thing.
You could hook up a slave box, and then as long as it goes to the right IP address, it would just look at whatever's on my TV.
Oh, that makes sense.
But it was a fun movie that I really enjoyed. I can't remember what got me onto that. But.
The Justice League Because I wondered if the Flashpoint universe, I didn't get into DC at all, ever, until the New 52 reboot. And from what I gleaned from some of the things that they said is that something happened at the end of Flashpoint, the comic series, that rebooted the universe.
Yes.
So I imagine that's what happened. And then that was like the in-continuity justification for the alternate universe, alternate timeline that we're enjoying in the New 52. Well, I'm reading through it, and halfway through, or like somewhere through this current year, they started doing a war between Atlantia and New York. And so the Justice League Aquaman are kind of putting Aquaman in this awkward position between the two. It's really great. It did a really good job of, like, you know, Aquaman is a drylander, and he's also the king of the Atlanteans, and kind of bouncing back between the two. And then they, of course, did that famous comic book thing where the adventure continues in another comic book. So I collect back issues. Who is texting you?
It's not text. It's emails.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So I've been bouncing back and forth, or I've been backlogging on issues, and my comic book guy didn't grab any of these Aquaman comic books that I needed to continue the story. So I had a.
Is that a thing where he's supposed to do that?
Well, sometimes he does it on his own, and this time he just didn't. But I literally, if I didn't have it, it would be like missing a whole chapter in a book. Like, the story continues.
Now, is that cool or is that annoying?
It's annoying. Mm-hmm. But I know why they did it, and it worked, because I now love the Aquaman comic books.
Really?
Like, it's so great. Within the comic book world, they kind of own the pot shots that Aquaman has been taking for the past 30 years. I mean, he hasn't been cool since the 80s. Some comedian said, "Aquaman, what's up with that guy? He talks to fish? What kind of superpower is that? And he's wearing orange, huh?" And that, like, tainted him. Really, you could do that for any hero. You're like, "Batman, he wears black, and he can't even fly. What's up with that guy?" You know? And so, some reason, it doesn't insult you and your people when I make fun of comedians.
Not at all. Maybe if I was black. Because you said your people.
My and comedians your impression. Are black. So
you evidently watched some kind of nerd version of Def Comedy Jam.
Why are cops always pulling me over?
What's up with Superman? I mean, he's got all these powers, but it's a green rock, and all of a sudden he can't do anything.
See, that's what I'm talking about. But the comedian didn't say that. They didn't go. Spider-Man, what's up with that guy? He's a spider, but he's only got four limbs. Is that even realistic? Can we believe in a hero that has the wrong amount of appendages for the animal in which he is representing? I mean, really?
I mean, the Flash. I mean, come on. That guy's the fastest running dude in the world. Yeah. And he white? I mean, come on, man.
That's actually pretty
Come
good.
On, man. No.
Thor?
Barry Allen never got chased by no cops because he's a cop.
Thor got a hammer, and only he can pick it up. Except for Captain America for some reason?
Made of the center of a star?
What is the sound? What does Thor even mean? It's like you call one of your boys over here like, "Hey, Thor." What is that even? Is that
what's
word?
Up with the name of his hammer? Like Mjolnir. How are you supposed to say that when you've been drinking mead all night?
How come every time he talks in the comic books, he's got some sort of slanted writing like he's in Shakespeare? Doth, hoth, heeth. What's up with Thor? But no, he made fun of Aquaman.
It's easier to do the Justice League than it is the Avengers.
Yeah,
that's
because
what I'm
they're
noticing
good.
In this
game. Or you're just better at it.
No,
I can't tell.
No, but no, you hit on the head with Batman and with Aquaman. I'm trying to think.
DC
Wonder
Heroes
Woman. That's
weird.
A hot chick with a lasso of truth. That's a recipe for danger in my world. She just wrapped that rope around you. All of a sudden, where you at tonight? Where you been?
This is fun. Go on. Because you're stealing from a Cartoon Network show.
Oh, I am?
Right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know it.
I wanted to know if you're going to own it.
Oh, no. I don't even know it.
Because my original bit is from the same show.
Oh, really?
He says, so what was the old show where they would take what comedians said and then they would animate it?
Comedy Shorts, I want to say, or something
like
shorts.
That. So they did a whole thing. He did a whole thing about Aquaman's powers, and then they did a whole thing about Wonder Woman's powers. Like, he wraps it around Wonder Woman, and then he's like, you know, it's because it's the lasso of truth. You get the lasso around a criminal. What's the first thing they're going to say? Well, you got big boobs. I'm just staring at your boobs.
That wasn't where I was going to go.
Oh, okay, good.
I was going to go like I'm in a relationship with Wonder Woman. She's like, where you at tonight? Don't be trying to tell me you were at your friend CeCe's. I know where you was. You're going to tell me right now. You're at the club.
So in the comic books, they incorporate all of these great ideas. So Aquaman, like the other characters in the comic book, make fun of Aquaman. Like civilians are like, yeah, what are you going to go talking to a dolphin? Ooh, so scared. And they call him like a B-lister. And they're like, so what's up with the orange and stuff? And he's like, it's an ancient Atlantean armor. He like defends it. But the comic book is drawn at the same level. It has the same kind of writing that the Justice League one does. And it's a pretty good book. So I'm like, and then you think about it, you take a step back and you're like, the ocean is this whole undiscovered world on our planet. Like it's a totally different environment. The whole everything is up for grabs. It can be an alien landscape, 50 miles off the coast of any other place that we already know. It's ripe for fantasy and for ideas, but instead, all we know of Aquaman is that he talks to fishes and he can swim.
Well, in the Flashpoint, like they have these bombs at the beginning, and so Aquaman goes to take to defuse one of the bombs, and the bombs are attached to each of these bad guys, right?
Yeah.
So he throws him in the water, and he goes, "Aren't you going to do something, man? About to blow up." He goes, and he stands there with his hand like Peter Pan-esque, and he's "I am." And you see these
things coming off of him. Yeah.
He goes, "One with 1 million microbes." Like, and then you see all the microbes come in from the ocean to come and defuse the bomb.
Yeah, and I think that's – I think Justice League or Super Friends. I'll bet Super Friends is part of the problem for the dismantling of Aquaman's power and coolness. Because you got Superman flying around. For some reason, Batman had an invisible plane with Robin. And then you got this guy that does the and suddenly a dolphin just shows up and saves the day. So that might have been part of the problem of why he stopped being cool. But now, that and the comic thing.
But I can't remember what got us onto this, but I guess what I was trying to say is that I thoroughly enjoyed the Flashpoint movies, but I don't think it makes it A, a good comic book movie, or B, a good movie.
Yeah.
I think that I've learned that if it is a comic book movie or animated anything, I'm going to like it.
Oh, good.
Like, I'm like, oh, this I'm on board.
Have you watched any of the motion comics of the Iron Man Extremis?
I did. I got the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, they're on.
I watched them at your house.
Well, they're on Netflix. That's where I watched them.
I bought them on iTunes when you were getting ready to move.
That's right. I saw you punch them up. So our baby was born a year ago, and so I was up in the middle of the night, and I was like, well, I'm just going to watch this series of things. And they're kind of brutal and a little hard to watch in animated form. But what was interesting about the fact that it's a motion comic, that the original content is a comic book. It's one thing to, like, I'm going to make a motion comic. So I'm starting from scratch with the intention of it being a motion comic.
As opposed to what this is it seems like a comic book with a Ken Burns effect.
Yeah, so that's all. And so they're stuck to whatever was created there. Now, on most of the comics, it has a nice mixture of a little bit of action and a lot of dialogue. So they all have the same amount of length. Then you finally get to this one, if it's 8 issues long, issue 7 is the big battle sequence that you've been building up towards. And so most of them are like 7-8 minutes. That one is 2 minutes long because all the action happens like that in motion comic world, but it's the same amount of pages in physical comic world. So it's like, oh, here's a hole in the premise of should make that a drop.
Damn it, that was funny. That was funny.
See you last week.
That's not even how it's supposed to be. That's not even how it's supposed to be.
Did you play Injustice at all? Speaking of DC Heroes in video game format,
no. I think I downloaded the demo, but it's weird. Like Jacob and I actually had some time to play some video games today, but he wanted a color. Like he wanted a color of the Ninja Turtles.
So yeah, I offered to play Skylanders with him. He's like, no, I want a color.
Yeah,
he's like,
okay. He's all into the color and these Ninja Turtles and stuff.
Well, I would too if I magically got it right every time.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing that. And he goes, excuse me.
This yawn break brought to you by cocoa butter.
That came out of nowhere. But,
would you like to put some cocoa butter on you?
Yeah.
Cocoa butter.
Thanks. I feel less ashy now, Aquaman. But It's like, for those of you guys that don't know what I'm talking about, it's like a color wonder.
That's most everybody who knows what this is. I've never heard of this.
My sister-in-law bought it for him.
You use chemicals, as your son described.
Well, he goes, I said, do you know why it lets you? I go, see, like, what I think is interesting, it's not like an invisible ink where you just cut, right. You know, hit it with something and then the colors fill in. Which I think is like paint by numbers, too.
Yeah.
That's how
it.
That works.
Well, and then, yeah, because you just use water and a Q-tip, and then it would unlock the colors that were there.
This, you can, it has, it only, the markers only work on this kind of paper.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and then what they did was they had different spots of the overall sheet were of a particular kind of paper, and you could make things different colors. What was interesting with him is that he looked at the picture that was on the box and then used that to figure out which color each part needed to be because he wanted it to look like the color on the box. What it creates is this really cool looking, like, and he thought, he goes, it's like I'm making my own comic book. That's
yeah.
what he said.
Oh, that's funny.
So he said, this will be like my comic book, but you could just look at it. Like, you don't, there's nothing
you
to read.
Yeah, you don't read.
I can't remember what he said. But anyway. So that's why he's way into it, because it's Ninja Turtles, and that's, you know, and so I was sitting there, I go, you know why it turns a certain color? And I go, and he goes, no. And I said, it's chemicals. And then he looks at it like, oh no, this is going to eat me, which I thought was funny.
That's great.
And I said, no, they're not chemicals that'll hurt you. I said that what it is I said, there's a chemical that's in the paper, right? I said, then there's a chemical in the pen.
Ah, we're all going to die.
Calm down.
Okay.
So I said, when you touch this color pen to this spot, it turns it this color. I go, but when you take this color pen, and I go, each of them have different chemicals in them. I go, and they react in a different way, creating the different colors. He's like, oh, that's cool. So then cut to him telling you, like he did tell me about how ants can't get through there.
Yeah.
Is that he's saying, it's just chemicals.
It's chemicals.
I learned this 20 minutes ago. And I'm going to talk to you like it's nothing.
Yeah, come on. I mean, don't you know? It's chemicals.
Whatever.
Stupid. Whatever. You're 35. I know this, and I'm not even 5.
Yeah. The other thing, though, that I was going to say is that because I talked about it like 3 or 4 weeks ago, is that I started playing Siphon Filter 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember playing the original Siphon Filter game on PlayStation, and I really liked it. But it was like the first, it was pre like Splinter Cell and all that stuff, if I remember correctly. It was like kind of idea of that, where, where it was like running and gunning. But there was an element of, like, sneaking around to it, too, that I think you could do, if I remember correctly.
They're first starting to develop that genre of action and sneak. Yeah.
So I got the second one, and I've barely gotten into it. But the problem is that I realized that I wanted to listen to podcasts, but I couldn't play games and listen to podcasts unless I got, like, some kind of splitter situation that I could figure out. And so I decided, well, I could play football and not need to hear the audio. So that's why I played football.
Oh,
but I also wanted to go back. I want to try and figure out a way to go back and play Abe's Odyssey and get it right, where I save the majority of the Meduncans or whatever. But I've been working and traveling, and so I haven't had time to play any games other than Madden, which reminds me, I got to play my Madden game tonight after we're done here so we can...
You have to advance? I thought it was Friday.
Friday, but I won't be home until Friday.
Got it. I can't advance. I can't play until Friday, so.
That's fine.
Okay, good. You know, it's interesting you say this about, like, what games spark our interest? What games why do we play the games that we play when there are so many games that, on face value, should be the same level of entertainment? Let me give you an example. As I mentioned earlier, Injustice, the DC-based fighting game. I played the demo. And I got it. I thought that the interactive world of the fighting element of it was fun, how you could hurt each other and knock each other into the next scene and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. But nothing compels me to buy that game. I look at it several times. I'm like, I should get this, but I don't think I'd play it. Mm-hmm. I look at Marvel versus Capcom, another fighting game. I love Capcom characters. I know Marvel characters extremely well. I was excited to see that Rocket Raccoon was on the original lineup. Most people weren't. and I thought that was cool. There's nothing inside me that says, go play this game. You put PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale in front of me, and I will play the hell out of that game for hours. I went away on a vacation trip, showed it to my all my in-laws. We stayed up for hours playing it. I got on the plane after that of a week of playing the game. I had downloaded a couple of the characters because I hadn't gotten them yet, Zeus and something else, and played it some more. It's the game that is almost always on my Vita if I turn it on.
Is it simpler than like another fighting game?
I don't know. I don't think so. It has its own its own mechanisms and its own differences, but you know, the general premise is the same. You know, evenly matched characters on a side-scrolling environment based on properties. You know, you could use that description for all three of those, and they would all work. Yeah. But there's something, and I know Sly is in it, so that's why I started to play it. But I love playing as Kratos, and I love to see the universe mashup. I love to geek out about the integral details that they did of putting the BioShock dude in there.
And that's what it is.
With the same place as Nathan Drake, and the fact that they look so much like the game that they're from there at the same time, that I also enjoy all the fighting and everything at the same. But wouldn't I love
that
to
seems
see,
like a buffet of a fighting game as opposed to a chef prepared meal,
which would be, but I mean, Marvel versus like, Capcom is two meals at the
right.
same time.
It's a larger menu, but that's it.
All right. That's
but
fine.
But in PlayStation Battle Royale, it's literally a buffet. You could go pick anything that you want.
That's fair. I mean, they have characters from other fighting games in that fighting mm-hmm. game. That's how cross-platform. Well, I give you another example then. I was playing Guild Wars the other night. Guild Wars 2. I love that game.
Well, yeah, why have you not talked about it since it was released?
I do all the time.
Not on here, though.
We should.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been having a lot of
because we've been
success.
Anticipating this on this show. We've been talking about it a lot where it's like, this is going to change role-playing. I remember when you said, this is going to change role-playing.
And it has.
It has.
Yeah. Because what they did is it's free to play. And they won the war by saying it's free to play from the very beginning. They didn't set out like so many other people did with the goal of defeating World of Warcraft. Like, that's even, it'd be like saying, who wins by saying we're going to topple somebody over? That's mm-hmm. not how, even The Simpsons, who stole Bill Cosby's audience, did not create The Simpsons with the goal of toppling and taking away Bill Cosby's audience. They just created a show, and it grew to the point that it could. But so to start with, this is going to be the game that steals everybody's money doesn't make any sense. So I own several different MMORPGs, and Guild Wars 2 is the one I repeatedly go back to. And if you know me, I'm not a huge fantasy genre guy.
Yeah.
Like, I prefer the science fiction or science fiction fantasy. But there are some elements of sci-fi in it. A couple of the races have a little more techie side to them, but it's all like with a fantasy spin on it. So they have like holograms, and they build robots, but they are called golems, and they're using magic and that kind of thing. And it's fantastic, and the world is expansive, and it's so rewarding to go into these different areas. They broke conventions of, instead of going up to a guy with an explanation mark or a question mark above his head and talking to him and reading a wall of text and then going and doing some mundane text, you just walk into an area and a little thing shows up in the corner and says, here's some things you can do in this area. If you do them, you'll get XP, and you'll get to win. You'll get the achievement for this area, and you go on with your merry day. And then when you do it, you receive an email in game, because finally, you know, the games that we're playing have caught up with the technology that we've been using for the past 30 years. So when you beat a task, a little pigeon flies in, a little magical pigeon touches you, and you get this email, and you can write back to the characters, you can write to each other, instead of having to go back to the guy that gave you the task and
it
get
comes to you.
Yeah, get another wall of text, it comes to you. You know, and then there's all the like great story elements that you get to do, and this arching stories, and there's so much to the game. Like, I'd been playing for so long, and then I was like, oh, there's this whole section of the map that my character doesn't need to go to because it's meant for another race or another profession. But I was like, I'm just going to go check it out. Nothing stops me. I can go right over there. And it has a handicapping thing. So the entire game is challenging and interesting for your character, regardless of what level it is. So if you're a level 5 and you walk into a level 60 area, you're going to get destroyed. Like the little frog that jumps around will destroy you. But if you're a level 60 guy and you walk into a level 5 area, it handicaps you down to a level 7. So you keep all of your 60 power. You keep all of that, but they don't do the level 60 damage. They do the level 7
damage. So it's not
damage.
Like when we used to play DC Universe Online, yeah. And I had level 30 and you guys had
You
lesser.
Just walk around and sneeze at stuff and
yeah,
it dies.
I would go through you guys to help you get caught up
to,
and level up throughout
they,
your...
They broke that. So it encourages you to, no matter where you go, to help each other. It creates a beacon of like attraction to... So you're I was doing something and I could just see
Which
on the map...
Which is the point of that Star Wars article that we read on Destructoid or whatever. Was it Destructoid or Gamasutra?
Probably Gamasutra.
So that
Gamasutra?
Where where he says that he goes, the problem is that there's no social interaction necessary for Star Wars, and that's why it failed. Is that that's the whole reason why people play these games.
There's the whole time that you're playing the Star Wars one, you are given a companion that can do all the fighting with you. And in fact, the moment you and Star Wars start to attack an enemy in the area, if you're playing and you go after this little mob of guys, if I'm watching and I see you attack, the enemy turns from red, which means it's a vital or optional target, to gray, which means I will get no XP for it. I can still attack it, but there's nothing in it for me unless we've agreed to be in a group. So I'd have to be doing something. We have to chat with each other. What are you doing? What are you up to right now? There's a spider on my microphone. I thought it was a reflect or something with my eye and the fan, and there's literally been a spider walking in circles. Anywho, it was a little creepy for me.
Evidently, I need to spray again.
I guess so. You need that cobweb thing. but the within Guild Wars, I was doing a task, and I could see on the map a little icon float by, and it's telling me that something is passing through the area that other people are doing together. We're defending a caravan as it moves across the map, and all I have to do is walk over and join in. And now I'm working with all these other people in different professions. I can quickly see what kind of stuff they're doing, how I can contribute. I was able to run ahead, do a little scouting, come back. All instantly. I don't have to talk to them. I mean, you can, but you don't have to coordinate. It just happens naturally because that's how the game's set up. So, I mean, maybe I'm defeating my original point, but those are all the wonderful elements of it. And the same time I sat down, I played Star Trek Online and Star Wars The Old Republic and couldn't get through 15 minutes of each of those games because they just don't have that special something. Yeah, that, you know, Star Wars is gorgeous. You have to give it to them. I mean, I love the illustrated kind of art painting style of Guild Wars, but the work, if you got a high-end computer and Star Wars looks great on your machine. There's I love being the hunter. It's kind of like Who's the guy in the helmet and the rocket packs?
Boba Fett.
I'm combining all my universes.
Bounty Hunter.
He's a bounty hunter, so I have a bounty hunter class character, and it's a ton of fun to play as. She's got rockets, and she jumps up in the air, and she shoots at stuff and blows, and she can fire this missile that sticks to people, and it beep, 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 and they and they try to beat it, and then they explode right in front of you. And
Nothing in the gaming world has brought more joy than a sticky grenade of
sticky
some
grenade,
kind.
And it's so great, the animation. So it's an instant neutralizer. You come up to a mob.
That in real life you could just grab it and go like this, but in a game there's no button combination to grab it and go like this and throw it away.
In the mob, I guess the idea is he's too panicky, what should I do, get this thing off of me, but you're right, you just take off your shirt. So that's a lot of fun, but there's nothing that draws me in. As soon as I get tired of the combat, which happens pretty quick, as I'm on my way to another thing, the thing that's so fascinating about it, the point of a role-playing game or any combat-based game is you get to fight with stuff. Give me buttons to do stuff. Yeah, I want to do stuff. And in all of the Star Wars games or in all of the professions Star Wars games, there's four things that you do, and they never change. And there's two of them have identical stuff. So you do, if you play as one kind of character on the dark side, its mirror thing on the light side has the exact same combo of weapons with a slightly different animation to them, but it's the same mentality, same thinking. And once you master those four basic things, there are some other buffs and weird returns and things, but nothing that changes the game dramatically, nothing that makes you go, oh, this is so much. And same thing's true with Star Trek. You have a phaser and you use it. And you think about it, it's like a role-playing game with a...
You have a phaser and you use it.
That's it. It'd be like doing a role-playing game in Battlefield or something where even more limited to that, where the only weapon you get is a rifle. And that's it. You'll play the whole game with a phaser. So in Star Trek, you're running around and you're doing some different stuff. And they recently created a whole new expansion to kind of reboot it. You can be a Romulan. It's a little more classic role-playing game. And Star Trek is the mythos for me. I know more about Star Trek than I know about any other mythos. I should love it. I should just be on that game 12 hours a day and let the rest of my life go to waste. It's free to play now, and I still I have to, like, come on, like, I owe it to the universe to play it. I make myself, like, look how pretty the animation is. Look, I'm a Romulan chick. This is cool. I get to design my own uniform. I have my own ship.
I like what I like about all that, though, is that going back to when ArenaNet said that this is what we're going to do,
yeah.
I just like it that they did it. Like, they made a bold statement, and from what you're describing is that they did it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's possible that some people had, like, that could, you know, that could hype it up too much.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at it like, oh, this, yeah, they on a fundamental level, they change the way that role-playing games
Absolutely.
Should be played.
Every month they have a new event, and it builds within the universe, so it builds on itself. So, like, last year in October, they had the return of the Pumpkin King, which is named the Mad King Thorn. So in the original game, he would always show up and tell bad jokes. And so in Guild Wars 2, it's supposedly like 300 years after that, so the legend is that he's not real anymore and people are mocking him. And the days leading up to Halloween, something weird is happening in the main hub universe of Lion's Arch, and on Halloween Day, the fountain that's in the center of the squad explodes, and he's standing there, and he makes you do all these crazy stuff. So that was great and really fun and a fun continuity. You could feel it happening leading, and they even said, like, weird things are going on around town. You know, people are disappearing, weird pumpkins are showing up. But the best part is, in November, they're like, the fountain was destroyed. We were pulling our money together to rebuild the fountain. And so there's like a sign in it's like under construction. So for all of November, in addition to other things, there's that. And then it's like Christmas happens, which they call Winter's Eve. And so there are children running around asking for donations in exchange for special prizes so that they can draw enough money in to rebuild the fountain, which finally in January came out. And they're like, they had a big unveiling. We've rebuilt the fountain thanks to 4 months of not having the fountain in the square, and it's back. And so every month they do something in this main area changes to reflect what other event that they have, just reasons to draw you into the game. And within it, the classes are so very different. Like, if you can play as a warrior, and I have one of each of the characters, if I stop that and then go to my elementalist, even it's not just about what buttons you press that makes it different. It's a totally different way of engaging with the game, because it has a different rhythm to it, a different style, a different thinking, a different combat system. Your armor is heavier, medium, or weak, so you know you have to stay close or further away from the battle. That's some obvious stuff. But then even just how you fight changes if you're combo-based, or if you use a bunch of weapons that you designed yourself, or do you lean on this or that. It's so expansive that you really can play it with multiple different characters and have a dramatically different combat experience, because they made them so different. It's not just we have a warrior and a wizard, like Gauntlet. Really, they're just shooting something different, and they're a different color sprite.
Warrior, wizard, and an elf, and a warrior. Oh, no, that's
yeah,
a warrior. It's and a warrior.
A warrior, a warrior. There's a warrior. Yeah, it's warrior, wizard, Valkyrie, which is a female warrior, yeah. Right? And then
the dwarf.
Yeah, yeah, the dwarf. Yeah. Elf, dwarf. So, I mean, that's unfair because that's like a 30-year-old game. But a lot of games fall into that trap of, like, this is just what we do. And the last thing I'll say about the brilliant combat system, I felt when I first was introduced to these games, I was like, why isn't it just – because they make such a big deal about what weapon you're holding determines. If you have an axe, you don't have access to these kind of skills. All of the games do that. If you're a sorcerer, you need to have a staff armed. But none of the games would do what you're holding in your hand directly dictates your powers and abilities. And that's what Guild Wars does, is you have a set of different powers, and if you have a staff in your hand, those are the five powers that you have, 1 through 5. If you drop that and put up a wand and a magical focusing item, you have buttons 1 through 3 are your wand powers, buttons 4 and 5 are your focus powers. If you drop the focus and put up a dagger, you have a different set of powers on 4 and 5. If you put that down, depending on what you are, if you put down the wand and pick up an axe, a one-handed axe, you have a different set of powers on 1, 2, and 3, but you keep the powers as the dagger in 1 and 2.
As opposed to always being locked in with the same weapon the entire game.
Yeah, or, you know, in World of Warcraft, you have a series of skills, and you have a main weapon. Like, if you have, if you're a wizard, you have a main, like, I shoot you weapon, and then you have a bunch of, like, special boosts.
I shoot you.
Shoot you. Shoot. It's a LARP. 3 points. Three points. Fireball. Fireball. In Guild Wars 1, you could choose your powers, but they were, you know, they were all dependent on what weapon you had in hand. In Star Trek, it's, you know, you choose, you either have a rifle or a grenade, and then you flip between the two, and it's not as detailed, and it's not as clever, and it's not as interesting. Telling you now, Guild Wars 2 is the future of gaming.
That reminded me of something. I don't know how or why, but I was looking through. Man, that's going to bother me that I didn't flag it or something. I was looking through the emails, and somebody, we did on an episode where we mentioned that it would be great if we had drops of all the stuff. And so he said, "Here, I made you some drops." And now I can't seem to find it. Well done, Justin.
That was good.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, so my point is, those are two types of franchises, two genres of games that I'm way into. I can think of tons of others. I love Red Dead Redemption. I find Grand Theft Auto boring. I love Skyrim. I hated Oblivion. So what is, do you have something like that where it seems like you should like it, like on paper?
Yes.
This should be a game I'm into. It does not spark my imagination.
So why is it that I like them, or why?
Name something like that.
Name something like that. That I'm sorry, I don't. I was right on board.
It seemed like you understood.
Yeah, I did understand.
And then you started thinking. And
no, then you said the question. I went blah, blah. Like, so what I understood you were saying, I don't. It seems like you would like all those games because you like an RPG.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
Yeah.
I get it now.
And then I was asking you, do you have a similar experience? And if so, what game
do
you think you should love and don't?
Oh, what's a game that I should... It sounds like to me that I would get into those MMORPGs, but I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
In the same way that, and I guess maybe platforming games a little bit, but I've kind of gotten
into those.
You've
kind of gotten back into those.
A little bit, but I never was into them. Like,
can you think of a specific title that you were like, I should like that game because I like this other game of a similar style? Like, you know, NFL 2K.
No.
But you're like, I'm such a Madden guy that...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of... what is it that, I guess, maybe Resident Evil, I would say, like those kinds of, because I like cinematic games, I like games that tell a story, and I like The Walking Dead, like I like the show and stuff, but I never got into the Resident Evil games. There's something they're obviously a big name franchise, they make great games, and they're scary, and that's a fun dynamic. That you don't find in a lot of games, but like I even tried Fear because I'm like, well, maybe it's because it's a first person shooter and it'll scare the crap out of me. And I was just like, no, I just kinda, well, that was enough of that. Like,
yeah.
I think I've even tried twice with Fear and I just couldn't.
That's a great example, yeah. And what about it doesn't?
That's the thing. I don't know if this is the same thing as what you're saying, is that it's almost inexplicable. Like, on paper, I should really like to, you know, kind of move through, solve puzzles. I like adventure games, especially when there's a puzzle that I gotta go, okay, how do I figure this out? Like on God of War or something, Gods of War. I like that. Uncharted, those kinds of Tomb Raider. I love Tomb Raider games. But Resident Evil, there's like puzzles and it's kind of slow, and then there's moments of like action and stuff. And I don't know if I played that first one and I'm like, eh. It wasn't that big a deal. It was just a bad time. And then when I go back, I've never tried to pick it up again.
Yeah.
But I think that would be the best example.
I think we're on to the marketing central code. Like, if we can unlock this code to our psyches, I'm sure marketeers have been trying to do it for decades. We would be able to control everything in the economy. I think of a watered down version of this. I was at a pool party a couple years ago, and this dude on his mobile phone was showing us this app that you could take pictures of somebody, and then it would funhouse mirror their face into these crazy stretched out things. And he showed me the picture. I was like, oh, that's funny. And he was in love with this app as if it were the Uncharted series. Like, so much enthusiasm. He's like, oh, it's so great. It's free. You can get it. It's called this. It's so great. I have so much fun with it. Look at all these amazing. Look how funny this is. His face is all straight. Look at this. Look at this. And he's going over the moon. He takes pictures of everybody. It does it in real time. All this stuff. I'm like, oh, I saw it. It was amusing. It was cute. And then I was like, it was clear in my head I was never going to download this app. Like, that's not how I'm going to spend my time. And he actually, by the end of it, he could sense that I did not share his enthusiasm for it and looks me dead in the eye and goes, you should get it. You're going to love it. With all the seriousness I think he can muster up without it getting weird.
Yeah.
And I walk away from that of like, whatever got to you in your soul about this Funhouse Mirror app is nowhere near touching my heart and my wallet for a free app.
Yeah, I think the only, another, that made me think of the Command & Conquer series.
That's another one.
I've tried multiple times, or StarCraft, or any of those, to play those strategy games. I like the idea of building towards something and long-term thinking within the game. I like that concept, but I just can't get into it. Oh, every time I try and play it, I'm like...
Now I wish we had a whole nother show. I could talk forever about RTSs. Oh, they're so great. They're so great.
Well, the good thing about us is that we have endless amounts of shows.
That's true.
We decide when it's over. Do we do a whole show?
We got about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. I thought that said 58. I was like, holy crap.
What happened? There's something. See, that's where I almost feel like there is not an RTS game that I won't play and enjoy. In fact, there have been RTS games that I've sat down and played for an hour and even known this is a really bad game, but I can't stop playing it. I will go.
What was the name of that game that was turn-based that we would play on the iPhone?
Oh, that game was terrible. That doesn't count.
But we played it.
Oh, it was so bad. That's true. I did play it. And then eventually I was like, oh, this is for people who want to play RTSs but can't afford a real computer. And it was so clearly StarCraft because you had your aliens and your technology guys and some sort of energy-based alien people. Yeah, it was Fusion War or something. That game was terrible. But there was a game about, because when StarCraft came out, there's just blah, 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 1,000 lookalikes. It was the genre before MMORPGs hit PCs. RTSs were the thing to do. Every game.
But I thought Command & Conquer was one of the first ones.
There was an era there in the mid-2000s, just before World of Warcraft blew up, which came out of an RTS also by Blizzard, that, if you didn't know, called Warcraft 3, that was the thing to do. Just now, you're like, oh, Harry Potter's so big, when are you going to make an MMORPG? Star Wars, Star Trek. It was, when is there going to be a Harry Potter RPG or RTS? Mm. So there was this one that was dinosaur-based, where you had some sort of time machine dinosaur training device, and the point was to build encampments and then train up dinosaurs, and then you use those. You would ride on the back of a horde of dinosaurs and go and attack your enemies. In principle, I thought it was the greatest idea ever.
Yeah.
And the video looked great, and then you play it for maybe 5 minutes, and the voice acting was terrible. It seemed like something that somebody watched Stargate, and they're like, we should do that with dinosaurs. And it was so bad. But there were slews and slews of these games, and I just thinking about them now makes me want to go home and install all of them. There was a World War II based game that's still making expansions to this day, and I wish I could pull up the name. I wish I was smart enough to be able to remember all the things I talk about. Once I stop talking, it comes to me. No, no. Oh, Heroes Glory? So close. It's got Heroes in the title. But as you play the game, I remember telling you this when it happened. You bringing your encampment, and you bringing your jeep, and you come into town, and you roll in, and you take out all your army guys, and there's snipers up in the...
Company of Heroes?
Company of Heroes! See, I knew it was close. And there's guys up in the thing, and you blow, and then they blow up your jeep, and boom, it explodes, and then the jeep turns into terrain on the map. App that you can then crouch behind and use to, and I told you that 7 years ago, and you said that exact same thing. You are nothing if not consistent.
He's watching Kingdom Under Fire, A War of Heroes.
It's not that's the same thing. Playing. But is Company
that, that's
of
not the same. Is that the same?
That's an earlier version of it.
Oh, okay.
Probably. But there are so many of these great.
You know what? The other game said, I like this topic because another thing that makes me think of is like, remember the. You played them more than I did, as most things. But there was a time when the Sim Coaster, theme parks,
all the Sim games like, were huge.
The idea of making my own business of things,
Sim Tycoon,
those really appeal to me. I remember when I first got the Palm Trio as a phone, like my first smartphone. I had a fish aquarium game. So I built a fish shop,
which was Seaman. So
and I managed a fish shop on my phone, and I took it very seriously.
That's awesome.
I was constantly trying to breed new fish to try and sell them, and I was just that was like one of the first mobile apps I ever purchased. And that's another thing that because of
that sounds like a solid game.
My interest in business and things like that I would be like, oh, I got to do this. But I think like so this is the closest I can come to connecting those two dots is that what I think happens is that when I spend time doing that, what it makes me think of is that, well, technically I'm working, but I'm not making any money.
Yeah.
Like, that's why this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that was you that first. Why I own the game The Sims is because you could not. You thought you had $4,000 sitting around when you realized it was your character.
Yes.
Then I started playing The Sims and I couldn't get my character to get up to go to work on time while I was playing the game at 3 a.m. And I knew the same thing was going to happen to me in the morning. I'm like, why am I playing this game?
I already have a life. Why do I need to live?
I don't need a fake one that's just as bad.
Yeah.
Like, at least let me fly or something. My mom was a gamer for a while. Yeah. So
I did not know this.
Well, in her own way. So the thing that made me think of it is you're talking about like you're attracted to the sim business games. Well, we had a game called Cats with a Z because it was 1998 and that made everything cool. And later there was Dogs also with a Z. And you had simulated pets. You had a simulated cat in this like cat box, and you could take it out and play with it, and there were four different personalities that you could choose from in the different types of cats, and then you could do stuff to them, like you could give them a ball of twine and they'd play with it. You could brush them and then they'd make different sounds. You could take a paintbrush and paint them, and they hated that. If they did something bad, you could squirt them with water, and then you could buy more stuff, I think, later on down the line. And there are a bunch of these different expansions, and when my mom got her own computer in her room, she loved to email everybody, so she'd spend every morning everybody would get an email from my mom that just saying, you know,
hello, good morning,
good morning. You know, got to work today, love you, bye. She was the best.
Your mom invented Facebook
pretty much. It was status update but personalized emails to everybody about what she had for
breakfast. There was no MySpace.
It was so great. She was on MySpace briefly. So so we got her this Cats game, and she said that she would play it so obsessively that like she found that she had neglected one of the animals in the house unintentionally because the cat needed. She knew she needed to play with her cat because if you didn't play with your cat on a daily basis, it knew it and would get mad at you when you came back because it was mad that you hadn't logged in for a while. And she stood and she was playing with it. And I think one of the dogs did something near her and he was like needed to feed it probably or something. And she's like, okay, I can't do that. We asked her later. I was like, why, you know, are you still playing Cats? She's like, well, I realized that I was neglecting our real animals, so I stopped playing that game. And I was like, oh, those poor digital cats. I wonder if they're mad at you.
I know.
pretty much. But that, to your point of like, or to this general idea of like, she played that game. I mean, she's her sons have had video games in her house since they could. As soon as you could put a controller in her hands, we were like, "We want to play a video game. I want to play a game." And here comes a game that was right up her alley to play with a cyber pet, and she had to be a grown up and say she shouldn't do it.
That's funny. I found the before we wrap up here, I found the email that Wyatt went and made all the drops for us.
Oh, great.
That we talked about. That was...
I don't get it.
He's making different...
The children can see the door. I could easily be a crazy person.
That's a good
That's
one.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
Oh, grape is the best. Here's the thing. I could easily be a crazy person.
See, he's good. He gives us alternatives.
A hint of liberty. That's what plants crave. Grape flavored jam.
Oh, grape is the best.
With a hint of liberty.
Sexier.
Wow.
I like that one. This, I think
I could easily be a crazy person.
That's pretty good.
Oh, grape is the best. I like that you're saying you could be a crazy person, and then I sound like one.
Okay.
So thanks, Wyatt. That was awesome.
Pretty great. We'll add those in.
And then I'm also noticing that Sam
has new intros.
New intros. Oh, but they're big. Yeah. Oh, Sam, how did you send those?
He mailed them. He mailed them to your Cyberbox.
Whoa, buddy. All right.
Well, as we unpack those, head over to
Facebook.
That's
going to be an hour to download those. He must have. I think he sent us shows. I think our actual shows aren't that big.
This is Sam.
Have you heard any of these?
Sandwich. No, I saw them in the inbox and I didn't bother downloading them.
Oh, gosh. I got it.
I would love to invite everybody to go to Facebook and mention what game you think you should like that just bores the hell out of you.
Yes. Speaking of Facebook, I happened upon, I got an alert on my phone and I happened upon one little thing that somebody had asked about how in the Madden 25, which is the next Madden because it's the 25th anniversary.
And it's the year 2025.
In the game.
Yeah.
They went blitz on us. but no, the guy said, he goes, hey, I'm wondering if you, I'm wondering what you think of them having like a, here it is. Justin, I'm really intrigued to hear your thoughts on the new mode in Madden 25 where you can be the owner of an NFL football team and do things from hiring coaches and staff to deciding popcorn prices. How excited are you?
That's a game you've been talking about.
I would love to hear your thoughts. And by the way, I will be getting it for PS3 so we could totally play. Yes, please. You can join our league, Matthew, for anybody who I think are going
to...
Well, we don't have to. I think we could continue on both of them if we wanted to. It's up to you guys. But anyway, I told him, I said that that was a thing that they did in the original franchise mode, that you would buy upgrades for your stadium, and then you would also decide ticket prices and concession prices and parking prices, but there was no consequence
to
that. The only consequence in the game that you could decide as an owner is if you moved the team. And it was actually pretty smart the way they did it, was that if you had to go to a city.
Yeah.
And you had to say, well, you did this a bunch, you know, but...
I didn't, actually.
Oh, you never moved any of the teams?
No,
you just redesigned their logos?
I would move them, but it was before or after the consequence element of it.
Oh.
All it was essentially a fantasy draft.
So the way that they would do it, I can't remember what iteration or year this was, but you would pitch it. So you could say, okay, I'm going to move the Niners to San Diego. And I go to the city of San Diego and say, here's how much money I'm going to put in. Here's how much money I need you to put in. But there was never a bottom line checkbook. So this money was just a number that you would just
move
on a slider. And then you could try and, you could say, I'm going to pay for it all.
Yeah.
But then that didn't mean,
It didn't bother anything. So you just say, I pay for it all.
Pay for it all. And then the city will probably go, sure, great, come on in.
Yeah.
But then if you say, I'm not going to pay for it all, and you want the city to kick down money, and the city turns you down, then all your fans in San Francisco turn on you and your attendance plummets and your merchandise sales plummet. But again, which is very interesting, but again, there was no other consequence.
So, yeah, just that part of the game fails.
Like the way they have it now, if you do the superstar mode and you're a coach and you don't live up to the expectations and don't meet your goals, you can actually get fired, which is what I'm curious to see in our season that we're playing right now. is that everybody else except for us is really struggling.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see if some of these guys get fired at their favorite teams, which I think is hilarious.
You can just create a new character and sign up for the same team again.
But, yeah, you could probably retire that character and start over, but then you would lose all your attribute points and everything that you would that you had done.
They should try harder.
Yeah, they should try playing games.
Actually. That's right. So so is it different in this, do you know, in 25?
No, I don't. That's why I told him, I said, I'm curious to see what they do with it. Because of what they're doing thus far, I really do think it's it would be an interesting dynamic to the game. And I think that Madden seems to be going in a direction with technology that you can essentially build your own fantasy league.
Yeah.
Like that if you are a gamer and like football, then you could play a more realistic version of fantasy football.
That's the thing that higher end element, the simulation element of the franchise is what I missed from our current generation of Madden, this current iteration. I liked the being able to tweak with the logo, tweak with the team name, and move cities. So I'd be interested to see in 25 if they bring that back, maybe on a more realistic scale.
I really think the NFL has licensing issues with it, which is just silly to me.
They probably do, but that's okay. Like, I mean, if I were Madden, I'd probably say, okay, sure, but we'll play it out for the long run of like you want to move the team to another city within the reality of the game, want to change the logo. Well, that stuff takes time. So you can do it, but there instead of like in the previous generations where you just could do it overnight, you have to do market research and you have to like you could build a whole game within that game of the reality of, okay, well, if you're going to, and then it would kind of be a reverse education to your audience, to your fans of like, there's a reason why the Tennessee Titans are called the Tennessee Titans and not the Tennessee Oilers.
And that there's no team in Los Angeles.
Yeah, because there are, yeah, exactly. Or how the Houston Texans became the Houston Texans and so on and so forth. Or that'd be cool to see like the 33rd team, like at a franchise.
An expansion team,
That would be. I imagine somewhere on a whiteboard in EA, all of these ideas are written down, and then somewhere on a legal pad in NFL's headquarters, there are
All these ideas with lines through them.
Yeah, No.
Yeah, because as much as gamer, we would like it that I think because they used to do that, and I think it was back when the Sega had the 2K series, and then EA had the Madden series, and so there was no exclusivity with the license, and now I think that with EA having the exclusivity of the license, that there's also an obligation that comes with that, that you can only have NFL teams, which is kind of a bummer. Like, I would like to be able to dance around and play in the world and, you know, and
Bring
things,
back but, the UK Galaxy and...
or the, what was the...
Demons.
Yes.
San Francisco Demons.
The San Francisco Demons from the WWE League or
XFL. There were eight teams. I'm going to pull them out. The San Francisco Demons, the Los Angeles Extreme, the Birmingham Bolts, the Orlando Rage, the Memphis Maniacs, the Vegas Outlaws, the New Jersey New York Hitmen, and the Birmingham Bolts. Bam!
You said Birmingham Bolts twice.
No. What did I miss? Well, the Chicago Enforcers.
Yeah! That's right.
I would win.
Send your email to correct Kevin on his XFL teams to show at GamerlandPodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at GamerlandPod. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast. Also, don't forget to go to Facebook.com/ I Want Sly Cooper in his own animated series so we can better white this bitch and make it happen, Captain.
Bam.
On behalf of my good friend, on behalf of my new friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.
Oh, wait, we forgot to ask where Aquaman was in that episode. Next time.